Welcome to the Marketing Society podcast. I'm your host, Mike Pigger, editor at the Society. And for today's pod, we have another episode in our series Starter for 10, a series of 10-minute talks from clever people in our network about things of interest to marketers. For today's talk, we have the CEO of agency Dark Horses, Melissa Robertson, to talk about the changing face of sports sponsorship and the Euros and how marketers can use it effectively. Over to you, Melissa.
Thanks, Mike. So here at Dark Horses, we don't just believe the Euros is the most important sporting event of the year, but actually it's the most important cultural event of the year. Admittedly, when you see naked Scottish fans paddling in Hyde Park, it doesn't exactly scream culture. And it's easy to dismiss the Euros as just a football tournament. But to do so means, as marketers, you're missing the phenomenal potential it holds for all of us, not just for people who've been through so much, but for brands too. It has immense power. And in this year of all years, it has the ability to lift hundreds of millions of people across the continent. It gives us something to look forward to, a reason to bunk off work early. And for so many who've been waiting for 5 years now, it is the ultimate distraction from the world we find ourselves in. In fact, it connects people in ways almost nothing else can, at a time we've never felt further apart. And as such, it becomes an attractive place for brands to play, mainly because they can add to the fun and help spread the joy. Just think about this for a second. How many times as marketers are you able to interact with your audience through the things they love at a time when they are happiest? These moments of euphoria create powerful, iconic memories and nostalgia for decades to come. Look at the way that England looks back to Euro 96, and therefore that whole summer with rose-tinted glasses, even though the actual celebratory parts only lasted for a number of days, pretty much from the 4-1 Holland win to us going out to Germany. It was only 11 days. Despite this, many fans will remember the brands they interacted with 25 years ago because of those Euros. However, it would be a mistake to see the Euros as just a bit of fun. It's so much more than that. It's a complicated web of national, racial, and ideological forces playing out in front of our eyes. The most important conversations in our lives are intertwined with this very football tournament. Here are some examples, if you don't believe me. In just the group stages of this tournament alone, we have seen the Ukrainians unveil a shirt with a map of Crimea on it, German fans booing La Marseillaise, deep-rooted Albanian-Serbian tensions coming to the surface between, let me just pause to make sure I get the pronunciation right, Marko Arnautovic and Egin Alioski. Cristiano Ronaldo raising concerns over health by removing a Coke bottle. Paul Pogba highlighting religious differences and behaviours by removing a beer bottle. German stadia lighting up for LGBTQ+. A Greenpeace activist flying into the Allianz Arena. And that's before we get started on the UK. In this country, we've seen the Euros being used to reinforce a post-Brexit jingoistic national movement. As the first Euros we've played outside of the EU, it can't help but echo the economic, political, and trade battles happening off the pitch, from sausage wars to real wars in the Black Sea. We've seen it play out national tensions between the not-so-United Kingdom as Wales, Scotland, and England go head-to-head. And we've seen players taking the knee, question our beliefs and values as a nation. This deeper side of the Euros is also important for brands to understand. If brands really are serious about making long-lasting change in this world, then sport and tournaments such as the Euros can be a fantastic arena to make them. And if that's whetted your appetite, the really good news is that you don't need to be a global powerhouse business or a brand steeped in history or even a sports brand to be involved. In the past, major sports events have long been dominated by global mega brands such as Visa and DHL, brands so well established that they feel more like omnipresent utilities for consumer goods. But signs are showing that there is a shift starting to happen here. And this year's Euros is a very pertinent reference point. The list of corporate partners lining up for this tournament is unrecognizable when compared to the 2016 roster. Of the 12 headline sponsors, only Hisense and Coca-Cola have renewed their partnership. Perhaps the 12 is a coincidence, or perhaps it's a beautifully perfect reflection of the 12 different stadia that this is all playing out at across Europe. But what's more interesting is how these sponsors differ from their predecessors. As many a pundit has uttered, football is a young man's game. And now it's the same for brands. The average age of Euro 2016 sponsors stood at a seasoned 84 years, with traditional stalwarts of sports sponsorship like Hyundai and McDonald's featuring in the lineup. But just 5 years on, this average age has almost halved to 44 years, or, if you remove Heineken from the list, 30 years. The global mega brands of the past are seemingly making way for a different type of sports sponsor. Two standout names on the 2020 list, both of which we've been lucky enough to work with for this tournament, are JustEatTakeaway.com and TikTok, and they are proof that times are changing. Incredibly, TikTok didn't even exist when Portugal lifted the trophy 5 years ago. And JustEatTakeaway.com were still two burgeoning delivery businesses trying to forge ahead in their fast-growing markets. Now, the former is one of the most exciting brands on the planet, and the latter, following its merger last year, is the biggest food delivery business in Europe. And the signs show this trend of newbies has the potential to go way beyond this summer. JustEatTakeaway.com has just signed the biggest sponsorship deal in UEFA's history, replacing long-standing sponsor Nissan. Whilst this year's Olympics will be without McDonald's for the first time since 1972, with Airbnb and Alibaba stepping in. Brands newly entering sport consist largely of digital-first scale-up businesses, all at a similar stage in their development. How to grow beyond word of mouth, build familiarity at scale, and gain public trust will all be challenges weighing on the mind of the marketing teams of these brands. With the right property, sports sponsorship is a proven method of adding to the effectiveness of traditional channels and meeting challenges like the ones these brands face. Euro 2020 will be a pivotal point in the development of a new era of sports sponsorship, where modern brands see the positive impact sport can have on a growing business. It will help usher in a more open marketplace, where there aren't the same dozen logos surrounding every tournament, and where increased competition for engagement drives creativity when it comes to activation. In turn, this will speed up the trend of resources being pulled from corporate hospitality as the primary activation tactic. Instead, more budget, time, and energy will be centered on making partnerships more interesting and distinctive. Those of us in the industry can and should be thinking more creatively. Who to sell to, how rights are packaged up, and what activation methods to use are all up for debate. Any conventions we're holding on to need scrutinizing. What's worked in the past may not be relevant to new brands with new problems. We should all feel liberated and probably terrified. An awful lot has changed in 5 years. This last year of preparation and excitement, chaos and spontaneity has happened in the ongoing shadow of COVID. It's been extraordinarily hard work, but collaboration, innovation, and determination have come to the fore, and it's starting to pay dividends. If that's not exciting, I don't know what is.
Thank you very much, Melissa. That was very interesting. Actually got me thinking about lots to do with, well, not only the Euros, but also weirdly Eurovision in a sort of similar sense. But yeah, just to say, basically, thank you for your talk and your time and for coming on the Marketing Society podcast.
That's a pleasure, Mike. Thanks for having me.